Charles Flynn v. Department of State, 2022-12-20. Mr. Lawler, nice to see you again.
Long time, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Good morning again. Brian Lawler on behalf of the petitioner Charles Flynn in this case. I don't have anything new to add to the open. I presume you're...
Can I just ask factually again?
Absolutely.
What were Mr. Flynn's duty orders?
Mr. Flynn's orders were to the Pentagon, to a logistical support brigade. He's an attorney himself, and that was his. So under an O'Farrell analysis, and say, sure, I mean, that is logistical support is obviously support of the contingency operation. Under Adams, maybe not, right? His orders, I mean, there are, Judge Stark, you asked earlier about, do the orders say in support of, and I think Mr. Marshall answered that they often don't. What's interesting under the Adams analysis is that the top line of the orders after the headers, it would say active duty operational support, or ADOS, which is a very common type of order, dash CO, or contingency operation. So we would think if there's a factual analysis that needs to be done, you're good there. Active duty operational support dash contingency operation. But then the next line almost always reads in support of blank operation. Well, that's going to be fine under O'Farrell, but now we get back to Adam says, well, you have to be directly called. But then the orders read in support of. So there can be some inconsistent reading there. And I would say as soon as you see the words contingency operations, we're good. They're on the orders. It solves the Adams analysis, but then it further says...
Well, wait, is that actually the case in Mr. Flynn's?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor.
Well, see, that's why I was asking. It seems like that would have been a bigger focus of the briefs if he'd actually been called in support of a contingency operation.
We didn't put that into the record below because, again, his case came before Adams.
What? I mean, you didn't even put in his orders below?
I don't know that we actually put I'd have to go back and look at the agency file, Your Honor. I'm certain we alluded to or pled when he was on orders, what type of orders he was on.
I mean, that seems like a bit of a gap if what we're looking at is to determine whether his orders fall into any of these categories to not even have his orders to look at.
I understand what Your Honor's question is. That's not exactly why we're here. I mean, we're here along with counsel for...
I mean, even if your argument prevails, don't you have to show that his orders qualify under 13B and 5538?
With the state of affairs with Adams controlling, yes, we would. Prior to Adams, no, we would not. And again, I go back to the progeny of all the MSPB cases that I had in the differential pay world and the 22-day additional leave world, which was governed by O'Farrell, all those AJs.
It's even though 13B, even if we're looking at it as a list, it still has things you're called to duty under any of these statutes. You're just saying, well, you can just presume because he was called to duty that's what his order said.
I understand Your Honor's question now. No.
I would think you would have to, at a bare minimum, put in...
Correct.
The call to duty.
Correct. And showing that it's 12301D, after that, we didn't really care what they said, as long as it was a provision of law.
But it would be in the record.
It would. It absolutely is.
And so it should be in the record here.
Correct.
And you should be able to tell me what the record says about whether it's a contingency operation or not.
Well, so now we get, this is what my point earlier was about this kind of circular logic of this.
No, argument. I know you think you don't have to show it, but I'm asking you, the orders should be in the record.
Correct.
And if the record's there, you should know what that record says and be able to answer the question about what that says, even if you don't think it matters.
Right. And what I can say is that they were 12301D, and based on this court's analysis and the definition of contingency operation under O'Farrell, that's a provision of law, and we're in a national emergency. I mean, I think that's and that's where we get stuck. And I say circular logic or dog chasing his tail, but we keep coming back to that definition. But that's what Mr. Flynn was doing. Yes, sir.
Do you have the appendix with you? Because I'm looking at appendix 138, and I'm new to all this, but that looks like what I would have thought were orders.
I don't know the page reference, Your Honor, but that...
Do you have it? Do you have it?
I do, but it's electronic. I didn't bring a stack of...
All right. If you bring an electronic copy, you should be able to use it quickly.
It's in my laptop, Your Honor. just don't know if it's going to be.
I mean, for future reference, you need to have something that you can facilitate quick access to the appendix when we have questions about it.
Understood, Your Honor. If page 138, if it does.
It says you are, it's got Mr. Flynn's name on it, you are ordered to active duty for operational support under provision of section 12301D. Does that sound like what
you're referring
to? In the last case, you candidly acknowledged, I think, that under Adams, Mr. Feliciano cannot prevail. Is that correct?
I don't know that I conceded that. Mr. Feliciano was, you know, driving around on Coast Guard cutters chasing drug smugglers and human smugglers. I think that absolutely would fit the definition of contingency.
I guess I misunderstood what I thought was a clear concession. But let's talk about Mr. Flynn now. Can Mr. Flynn prevail if we're bound by Adams?
Flynn was decided after Adams.
Yes, sir. Yes. No, if this court follows Adams, then no, probably Mr. Flynn does not control, which is why we want to get Adams reversed. So again, under Rule 35, for Mr. Flynn, we would respectfully request a referral to en banc. I don't have anything further for Mr. Flynn, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Waller. Ms. Jansen.
Good morning again, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I will just refer to the parts of the record where Mr. Flynn's service is described. We've cited it as Appendix 137, which I believe carries over to 138, and that's where the duties are described as being mobilized for active duty operational support of Operation Enduring Freedom, contracting support brigade. And subsequent to that, Mr. Flynn actually submitted a affidavit at the board where he described his duties that he performed at the Pentagon. They are long and quite extensive, but I have summarized them as providing legal support on a range of operational issues, logistics, personnel, funding, budget, in further of the office's mission, and that office was the support brigade in the Pentagon. So I believe there was a sufficient factual record to make a connection between the duties Mr. Flynn performed and the ongoing emergency if that were required, but that showing was not made. And we do believe that there is a factual question that could come up when a reservist is called to duty under 12301D, and a reservist could certainly make that connection showing how voluntary orders would entitle the reservist to differential pay. And so I believe the example that Mr. Flynn's counsel gave of, you know, two service members being in the same ship, in the same cockpit as part of the same operational mission, one giving differential pay and the other not, I don't believe that's a situation that would arise because there it's pretty clear that those two service members would be in the same operation if one is... And if that operation is, in fact, a contingency operation, then under the statute, differential pay would be permitted. So I have nothing further to add here unless there are any questions from the panel.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Lawler, do you have any rebuttal?
I don't have anything to add.
All right. Thank you very much. The case is submitted.